If you would turn your Bible to Matthew 16. And I want to go over some things. This week I talked to a missionary, one of my former students from the college in Wisconsin got in touch with a missionary, and the missionary contacted me by way of email, and he wanted an opportunity to come to the church. And he gave me the website of the missions organization that he's a part of, and that was his first mistake, because they do not line up with us. Let's put it that way. They're way too generic. By the way, Jesus didn't start a generic church, okay? Okay, he started what we would call a Baptist church simply because he taught the same doctrines that we teach today. Okay, they didn't call it Baptist church, I know that, because there was only one kind of church. Why would you have to distinguish it? But now you've got so many crazy things and that call themselves a church. It's amazing to me. Sharon and I will drive down the road and we'll see some of these crazy names. What was it? Essential Truth or all this kind of stuff. And I got news for you. There's just, how did they come up with the name? I want to tell you how we came up with the name for Bible Baptist Church. First off, I'm not going to start anything but a Baptist church. And I'm an independent Baptist preacher, so it's going to be an independent Baptist church. And we're started out of another independent Baptist church. We have the authority of Landmark Baptist Church to start our church. And we had the authority of another independent Baptist church to start our church in Kansas City. That's the way it ought to be done. That's what the Bible says. If you want to look it up, Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3, talks about Saul and Barnabas being sent out by the church at Antioch. And the Holy Spirit spoke to the church and had them sent out. And the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that wherewith I have called them." So the Holy Spirit had already talked to Saul and Barnabas. Saul, who we call now the Apostle Paul. But I want to spend some time on this because I want us to understand some of the things about the church that this missionary didn't understand. Their missions organization didn't understand. They had a real good statement about what they believed about the scriptures. And a lot of churches have a good statement. They just don't address which Bible they believe is scripture. And that's the way a lot of them are, because if you've got an NIV and you've got or you've got people in the congregation that believe in the NIV and they carry NIV, and you've got some that carry the King James and New King James and the RSV and the NASB, all that kind of stuff. First off, they're not the same.
That's right.
Okay, the NIV has 64,000 words less than the King James Bible. Okay, your daily reading schedule won't be near as long. Okay? But the truth is, by the way, a lot of people say, well, the King James has about almost 800,000 words in it. I agree. So 64,000 is not that big a deal. If you went to college, how big a deal would it be for you to write a 64,000 word paper? That's a big deal. That's a big deal. I dreaded a 5,000 word paper. 10,000, oh my goodness. I'd sweat bullets. But the truth is, I want you to understand, those are not just casual changes that the Bible makes. This missions organization said, we believe in the infallibility of the Word of God. And that's where they stopped. Well, which Bible is infallible? Because they don't agree. I mean, you had homosexuals on the NIV committee. That's why the word sodomite's not found in the NIV. Okay? I'm saying all that to say this. It matters which Bible you use.
Right.
Isn't it sweet when we can all stand together and read out of the Bible together and you see if I miss a word? And I do from time to time. And by the way, you'd never know it if you had a different version.
That's right.
But what I want to bring out today is the fact that what the church teaches and the when the church started matters. Okay? I mentioned in Sunday school that a lot of the cults actually got started in the 1800s. I don't know what it was. I taught cults and comparative religions at the college, and I don't know what it was about the 1800s, but it was a crazy time because that's when the Jehovah's Witnesses got started. That's when the Mormons got started. That's when the Seventh-day Adventists got started, the Pentecostals, the Church of, not Church of Scientology, but the Christian Science Movement got started, and all that kind of stuff got started in the 1800s. One of the things that I want us as Christians to understand is that Jesus did not start everything that's calls itself a church.
That's right.
Okay? Jesus started one type of church.
Amen.
Okay, and a lot of people say, well, preacher, you're just so strict. You won't allow drums on the platform, nor will I ever. And I want you to understand there are certain things that we're not going to do. I don't need a dance team up here, okay?
Amen.
Okay, we're not going to have that kind of garbage on the platform. Hey, we're here to worship.
Amen.
We're here to learn. We're here to fellowship. And Jesus did. Nowhere in the Bible does it say in the New Testament that they had a worship band on the platform. Nowhere did they have even a building. I mean, we've been blessed that the Lord provided a building for us. But I want to spend some time on this subject because I think it's important for us to grasp, because this guy, and I, by the way, I talked to him about 15, 20 minutes as a missionary. And I taught him as much as I could in 20 minutes about the fact that we couldn't yoke up with them because they had Baptists, they had Bible churches, they had other denominations that are involved. They weren't just starting independent Baptist churches. They didn't just use the King James Bible. And there was another thing that they said in that really riled me. And it's the fact that they said that the church started on Pentecost. Now, I got news for you. My church, the church that Jesus started, now maybe their church did, I don't know. But I do know that the church Jesus started while he was here.
Amen.
Okay? And we're going to go over some of that tonight or this morning. And I want us to understand it's important for, if nobody else understands it, we ought to. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to start with chapter 16 of Matthew, verses 13, and we'll read a few verses down from there. And it says, "And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now here's a key verse here I want us to look at, verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you for this blessed passage. And Lord, I thank you for those that have taught me right on this issue. Lord, there are a lot of people that don't understand the dangers. They don't understand the crazy concepts that they get involved in when they don't understand what kind of church you started and how you started it and when you started it. But Lord, I just come before you asking your Holy Spirit to be the teacher. And Lord, we need your help. Please keep the preacher out of your way. Lord, we want to hear from you, not from this preacher. Lord, we need to hear from you. Let us do that today. That's why we're gathered together. For it's in that holy name, that mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and what we see here is the fact that Jesus is talking, and he's explaining to them, he's kind of wanting to find out what the people are saying about him. And that's okay, and that's what he should do. But he was trying to get an idea of what the disciples believed about him. And what we see is the fact that the disciples were hearing all kinds of things from the other people about who Jesus was. But Peter spoke up. Now, I want to tell you, verse 16, Peter spoke up, and what he said was the right thing. Okay? He said the right thing, because there's a lot of times Peter spoke up and he put his foot in his mouth. Okay? In fact, probably right here he had to take his foot out of his mouth to say the right thing. But the truth is, we see here in the fact that he said the right thing. He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus went as far as to say, "God the Father has revealed that to you." But I want to spend some time on verse 18. It says, "And I say unto thee," Jesus is talking to Peter. He says, "I say unto thee, thou art Peter." Now I want to stop there a minute, because we need to understand there's a difference between the two words, Peter and rock. Okay, the word Peter here, the name Peter means a small stone, something about the size that you'd put in a slingshot. Us boys used to get in trouble with. But you're not going to do much building on a pebble that'll fit in a slingshot. And Jesus is saying, "Thou art Peter," which means Petros. That's the Greek word for Peter, Petros. But it says, "Upon this rock." And by the way, there's a comma after Peter, isn't it? It's not a continuing statement. It says, and upon this rock, the word Jesus uses there for rock is Petra. I want you to get the difference between what he's saying here, because it's very important. The Catholic Church misses this altogether, because they built their church, they built their entire religion on the fact that Peter's the rock. That's why they believe that Peter was the first pope. That's why they also believe, and you've heard a lot of the jokes that say you get to the pearly gates and there's St. Peter. That's all Catholic doctrine right there, okay? St. Peter isn't in charge of the pearly gates. I got news for you. Jesus is, okay? But the plain truth is the fact that Peter means a pebble. And Jesus, in the statement, he's saying, "Thou art Peter," and I personally believe he does it this way, "Thou art Peter, but upon this rock I will build my church." Who said he was going to build the church? Jesus did. Well, what on earth are you talking about, preacher? What difference does it make? Well, what kind of church you want? You want one that'll last, that Jesus has built? You want one that is on a solid rock? Look, I wrote this passage in here. Go back over to chapter 15 and look at what it says in verse 13. I didn't even realize I'd put this note in my Bible, but I did somewhere down the line. It says, and he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That goes right along with what we're saying. Do we want God's blessings on our church, on our efforts, on what we're trying to do, trying to win souls? I can tell you right up front, we can't do without it.
Right.
We've got to have His blessings. And it says if God hasn't planted it, what's He going to do? He's going to root it up, pull it up by the roots. I don't want Him to do that with this church. And why do you go to so much lengths, preacher, to keep the music right and the preaching right and the Bible right? And hey, I don't want to be rooted up.
Amen.
I don't want us to lose our candlestick. If you remember a little bit of the story in 2 Kings, I believe it's chapter 6. What's going on is they're building dorms basically for the college students. Okay, that's basically what it is. They're sons of the prophets are building. The area is too defined, too refined for them. It's too tight, straight for them. And so what they're doing is they're felling a beam. They're chopping down trees. And one of the men, he's using an axe. And now I like the way they've done the axes in the last 20, 30 years. They've beveled the head to where it won't slide off the end. Because I've had trouble where I've had to drive wedges in there to keep the end on. But used to be, that's the way it used to be. But now they've got the handle, the axe handle, beveled so it won't slide off the end when you're swinging it. But this guy was swinging an axe. And he's chopping a tree down, chopping down. And all of a sudden the axe head comes off the handle and goes into the water. And the guy's crying, carrying on. He said, Master, it's buried. I mean, it's borrowed. It's out there in the water and I can't get it. And it's borrowed. And he understood that they didn't have Lowe's back then, or Home Depot or whatever, to run down and get another one. Those kind of things were very rare back then. And so Elisha comes up and says, where did it fall? And Elisha tosses in a stick. And guess what happens? The Bible says the iron swam. I'd like to see whether it did the backstroke or the dog paddle or what it did, but it says it swam. The iron swam. I want you to understand, what would have happened if that guy had tried to swing and chop down that tree without the axe head on the stick? He'd have just beat himself silly. And I got news for you. To try to be a church without the power of God, we're going to beat ourselves silly. We're going to do a lot of damage to ourselves. We're not going to make much difference. We've got to have God's axe head to fell the trees. We've got to have God's power. And the only way we're going to be able to have it is to do it His way, with His power. And we don't have His power without doing it His way. Plain and simple. And so I'm just hard-headed enough to keep doing it the way I've been doing it because He's been blessing. Okay? I'm not going to change. And like I said, 20, 30 years when y'all get a new preacher, you know, maybe. But anyway. But I want us to understand that this here is talking about the fact that when Jesus started the church, what did He say? He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Who started the church? Did it start under Pentecost? No. Let's go over to chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I want to look at something. I'm going to go through a little bit here. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but I want us to understand this particular passage. Look at verse 15. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. You know what that's saying? Number one, that's talking about church discipline. Okay? There, being a member of Bible Baptist Church, whether it be the pastor or a church member, is a privilege. Okay? There are certain things that we have that are we're going to be responsible for. Okay? How would you feel if somebody said, I saw your preacher down at the bar and he was slobbering drunk? Now, I got news for you. That'll never happen because they don't go in the bar and don't drink anyway. So, plain and simple, and it's been a long time since I've ever touched alcohol, 40, 50 years, I guess. But the truth is, we all need to realize there's a certain amount of responsibility that we have as members of the church, just like it is for anybody. But that's what this is talking about. If somebody's done something to you, what we're supposed to do is go to them. But that's not why I brought this up, because I wanted to bring it up in verse 17. It says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. How are you going to tell it to a church that's not there? You see, this is before Pentecost, right? How are you going to tell a church that is not there? Let's go back. Go to Acts chapter 2. This is where they go. And I'm going to bring this point out because I want us to understand these are doctrines that we believe as Baptists that we should hold on to, that Jesus started his church. If Jesus did not start his church, if it was started by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, then Jesus lied.
That's right.
It's plain and simple. He said, I will build my church. And I know my Jesus doesn't lie. Look at what it says in verse 47. I'm going to go to 46 and 47. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat and with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved. How do you add to something that's not already there? You don't. And what I'm trying to say is the Lord gives us a right, a privilege to be a member of His church. There's a certain amount of blessings that He provides for us. And one of them is being a member of the right kind of church.
Amen.
Being a member of a church that believes that the church was started on Pentecost, they've already corrupted their doctrine to start with. You say, that doesn't seem like a big deal. It does to Jesus, because you're saying that he didn't start his church. And I'm saying all that to say this. What happens when the churches aren't here? We were in Sunday school, we were studying Revelation. Studying the chapter 6, where it talks about the time of the beginning of the plagues with the opening of the seals and things of that nature. What happens if the church isn't here? I want to ask you this. How many of you would be saved? I know I wouldn't. How many of you would be saved if there wasn't a good church preaching right and challenging people to win souls and to make a difference? None of us probably would be saved. We owe it to the Lord to keep passing it on. You can't pay back the people that have told you about Jesus no more than I can pay them back, the ones that have told me. But I wanted to I want us to understand we've got the right Bible. We've got the right God. We've got the right Savior. We've got the right Spirit. We've got the right doctrine. And praise God, we need to keep doing it right.
Amen.
We need to keep doing it right. God's been blessing. You see those children? A year and a half ago, we didn't have any. Except Matthew's children. But praise God, when Matthew's children left, he's up in Tennessee working for his father-in-law's church. And praise God for them. But I got news for you. I'm glad to have these children. Are they disruptive? Yeah. I am too sometimes. I was really bad when I was their age. But the truth is, they're worth it. And so much more. You're worth it too. You're worth my prayers. You're worth my pleading. You're worth my encouragement. I want you to be encouraged by me. I want you to encourage me. We need each other. But the Lord only started one kind of church. A lot of these things that when we started this church 8 years ago in Bartow, one of the things I did when I... Both the churches we started, I'd look up online and see how many Baptist churches there were. Imagine how many Baptist churches there are in Kansas City. I mean, that's where the Midwest Baptist Theological Seminary, the Southern Baptist Seminary is. And we started our church within about 5 miles of that seminary. And the church is still going on. How many churches closed during the last year and a half? Not this one. Why? I'm addicted to the Lord's blessings, I guess the best way to say it. I like to watch Him work. There's nothing special about this preacher. Nothing at all. The Lord called me to do this, and I'm trying to do the best I can, but hey, He still helps donkeys preach. Amen. And I'm glad He does. Because there's a lot of them other kind of donkeys that aren't doing much. And I'm not trying to belittle. All I'm trying to do is motivate us and help us to realize this world needs you. This world needs me. This world needs this church. And we're just going to keep our doctrine. We're going to keep our music. We're going to keep our Bible. We're going to keep our standards just as straight as an arrow as we can so that we can do the work that the Lord's called us to do. So many have quit. Even if they still hold services, they're not doing a whole lot for the kingdom. They're not passing out tracts. We just got another 6,700 tracts. Keeping Brother Myron busy stamping them. But I got news for you. And by the way, those 6,700 tracks are only going to last us two and a half months maybe. And they'll be gone. I love you guys. Every single one of you. And I want you to understand, the reason we do things the way we do them is because I want the Lord's blessings. And when there's any wiggle room where you say, well, what if we do this? Unless I get a clear thumbs up from the Lord, we're not going to do it. Unless I can find it in the Scripture where that's permissible, we're not going to do it. Because this world needs you, needs me, needs this church. 65 churches in Bartow when we started Bible Baptist Church. 13 Baptist churches in the Bartow area. And I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, you want us to start another church in Bartow? And he didn't answer me. You know why he didn't answer me? Because I didn't need an explanation. He told me what he wanted me to know. And he said, that's what I want. Yes, sir. I'm not the brightest bulb in the closet, but guess what? When he says yes, I say yes. And I'll tell you something. I see you guys. I see this church at fellowship time. I see those children at fellowship time. I see the difference that we've made in lives here at this church. And it scares me how many times that I tried to argue against the Lord about starting a church in Bartow. And he said, no, I want you to do it. Someplace else, Lord, right? They know me in Bartow. Them phosphate miners know me in Bartow. I want you to do it in Bartow. And then when I got Pastor Carter's permission and Landmark Baptist Church's permission, I didn't have any excuse. And the Lord's just blessed, blessed, blessed. And you guys are a big part of the blessing, whether you know it or not. But it makes me mad when there's missionaries going out to teach wrong doctrine. They don't have the right Bible. They don't have the right, they don't have any standards. Jesus did not, and I'm going to say it again, Jesus did not start a generic church. He did not start a non-denominational church, okay? You say, why? How do you know that? Well, first off, you can identify every non-denominational church by what they teach. Because whatever they teach, and if they don't teach anything, they're null and void anyway. They're worthless. But if they believe you got to be baptized to be saved, then they're lining up with the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Catholics and the Church of Christ. If they believe you can lose your salvation, then they're lining up with most of the Protestants. And you can identify what they believe. But I want us to identify what we believe. Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22. You say you're narrow-minded, preacher? Yep, about that narrow. That's how narrow-minded I am. By the way, Jesus said narrow is the way. And I kind of want to go that way. I've been rambling a little bit, but I've been sharing my heart a little bit. Because I want us to understand, this is not just any old church. There's no other church like this one in Bartow at all. Not many in Polk County. But I got news for you. We're going to keep our doctrine straight. We're going to stand with the King James Bible. We're going to stand with the right music. I know we don't have the organ playing, but guess what? I kind of like the old piano. I like the old songs. My goal is for us to praise the Lord and show Him that we're not going to make any changes. We're going to just stay as close to the doctrine, close to the Bible as we can. Because, and I heard my pastor say this one time. He said, when I get to heaven, I think I'm on safe ground, because I don't think the Lord's going to say to you, Brian, you just believe that Bible too much. I don't think He's going to say that. But I believe there's a lot of them going to be in heaven if they make it there. And He's going to say, why didn't you believe my word? Why didn't you do it the way the Bible says? Why didn't you teach it right? That missionary on the phone, he's not going to have any excuse. I had 4 points, but I spent some time, the Holy Spirit kind of left me, had me leave my notes off to the side. But the truth is, the world needs this church, and churches just like us that care about souls, care about these little ones. How many of them are going to go to hell if we don't try to reach them? How many of their families can we possibly reach because they're riding the bus? We're going to keep at it. And I appreciate you guys, because we're going to do it together as a team, as a family. And the most important thing is, there's a reward coming. We get tired. You get tired. I get tired. Sharon gets tired. Brother Byron got tired before church even got started this morning. We were moving chairs. But guess what? There's a reason to press on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, I thank you for your church. I thank you for the way you have started your church. And Lord, so many people don't understand it. So many people miss it. But Lord, I thank you for everybody that's taught me, that's told me the details. The details are important, or they wouldn't be in your book. Lord, use the invitation. If there's one here that's not saved, really hadn't been a salvation message, but Lord, help each one of us to resolve in our heart that we're going to stay close to your book, close to you, and close to your church, and try to stay on task to make a difference in this nasty world. Use the invitation for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.